You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 1.
So back to Google and Samsung.
Yes, that's right.
I realize they're not arguing out loud yet. So this is just sort of a little bit of speculation.
You heard it here first.
I think that this is going to become more and more a problem. We talked about the fact that that Samsung is going to be trying to steal programmers from Apple and Google. They're setting up shop in San Jose. We talked about that last week. Well,
right.
I didn't realize this, but they've taken it to a new level. They want to deal with the fragmentation problem head on for Google.
Oh, good job, Samsung.
I know, it's really nice, but they want to incentivize developers to make Samsung-exclusive apps.
Really?
Yes.
How does that help with the fragmentation?
Well, their argument this is awesome.
What?
This is great. So what their argument is, or what their goal is they want to become, they now have so much market share with their I know, this is great. I love this because they're basically...
We want to deal with the fragmentation issue by essentially killing all the other competitors, and that'll solve the fragmentation issue.
I know. It's brilliant. And Google's like, what? Wait a second. That's not how it's supposed to work. And it just, it totally makes sense. You've got a platform, the operating system that you use, the hardware that you
use is the most
standard in the entire industry.
And
as a developer, if I were going to develop an app for Google, the first thing I would do would be develop for the Galaxy devices. And then I would think about maybe developing for the next competitor. And
if it's close to proximity to the Galaxy, screen size and resolution are similar.
Right. On hardware. We'll make it. And so
do it for the Nexus because you want to play Nexus with Google stuff that we end up in commercials.
It's nice. But at the same time, so Samsung, they're just straight up, no. We want the best apps and only those, and to be only available on our platform. And they're just going to, this is great.
So wait, are they going to have their own app store, or how does that?
I don't know what their plan is. They don't really talk about it.
I guess you can probably specify in the Google Play Store if it's compatible with, what it's compatible with, huh?
Yeah.
Be my guess. I don't know how that works. Obviously, they've got to figure it out, but.
Yeah,
I like Samsung.
This is a big, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to build these, they're trying to build apps that are, how they're doing this is they're incentivizing them with awards. The first prize winner will get $200,000. They're going to have people develop a bunch of different apps.
Okay.
And then they're going to go forward and, sell, and then they're going to judge all the different apps, and they're going to
the number of downloads, or what's the criteria?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, but the top prize winner, the best app, will get $200K. But there's going to be $800K worth of prizes that they're going to be able to split up with everybody. And they said the one thing is the app has to be free for people to download, which is great because they want people to make great apps that everybody will use.
Yeah.
They can support in-app purchases. And it also, they're talking about how, this might be part of a, you can make it like a free version of what would become a pro version later on. But in order to win the grand prize, you probably just have to make a full featured app. But it's one of those things where, it's just brilliant, man. And what they're going to do is they're going to force Google and they're going to force all the other hardware manufacturers to chase them. Samsung's added this feature and this little functionality and this piece of hardware. So now we have to, or we can't use the apps that people are developing for, them, or we can't chase that same developer. We can't chase the same stuff. And all of a sudden, we talked about the fact that, a classic case of, the dog or the tail wagging the dog last week. And I think it's just become an extreme vision of that.
This is just a competition, right? It's not necessarily they're doing this from now on.
No. Well, yeah, correct. They are not. This isn't. But I think this is just your first volley in a.
Yeah, they're just testing the waters.
Right, because what they're realizing is they are at a place where they can start to really, you know, battle the competition, the other hardware manufacturers, and they can start to really, really push Google to do whatever they want Google to do. If Google wants to stay with this hardware manufacturer, with this OEM, they got to play nice with Samsung.
That's funny.
I know. I just thought it was brilliant. That's great. So messed up. Oh, my gosh. Google has to just – sometimes they have to, like, go to bed at my – like, lay in bed at night trying to fall asleep just thinking, like, how did we get here? We went from, like, we're going to build this little toy of an operating system for smartphones to – the number one dominant operating system in the mobile market to completely bold into Samsung in like 5 years. Like this, and just like we, you know, they have
come on Motorola.
So much, I know.
That's probably what they're just kind of being quiet, running as hard as they can with that, hoping that, you know, they'll add competition.
At some point, if this gets bad enough, I think what you'll see Google do is a launch exclusive Google only awesome stuff for their hardware. But it just would, but the problem now that they've run into is that Samsung's doing so well, Samsung is already in development of their own operating system. And if they push hard enough, Samsung just launches their own operating system.
Man, you just wait for them to fork Android. Just,
yeah.
I mean, they're already halfway there with their layer on top.
And that's what I'm saying is
that's why they just stick it to them. But why would they?
I mean, well,
they're
point,
obviously being super profitable.
Right.
They're doing really well. What's their incentive to spurn Google?
Right. Well, yeah, because Google does so much of their software development for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, yeah, that, I mean, that's, and if Google pushes back hard enough, that's the thing, is that's their trump card, is they have no incentive to fork Android at this point,
yeah.
But they have no reason not to if Google doesn't play fair anymore. And all of a sudden it becomes, you know, literally overnight it becomes the most dominant platform in the world, and Google just is completely cut out of it. You know, so it's like, this is putting them in a weird, weird place.
Well, for the sake of the podcast, I hope it gets messy.
Me too. I love it.
Oh, Samsung. Those guys, they compete.
Yeah.
They compete.
Yeah, you're not messing around, man. I guess it's like the one thing that I like have to, you know, when they were cheating, lying, and stealing around Apple, and like, you know, you're like, this is the operating system that I'm like, you know, it was like, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's hard to take, but it's fun to watch because I just like to watch the sport of it. But at the same time, it like materially affects like the quality of my products. Come on, guys. Like, and play nice, okay. But now that you see that they do it, like they don't have any allegiances really.
No, they don't. They're just kind of like, just, hey, surprise, surprise.
Yeah,
Google now.
They're just aggressive, and yeah, you're like, you know, at least they're, you know, equal opportunity. That's pretty awesome.
They're just doing their thing. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So, last thing I have to talk about,
okay.
I think, yeah, last thing I had to talk about is there's two new commercials coming out, and I'm a big fan of commercials, but one of them is, it's an iPhone commercial and a Windows tablet commercial, and I don't know if we want to try to play these.
Well, let's try it. I don't know if this is going to work.
Okay.
Did you sound up?
I got it.
This is the laws against.
Yep.
It's piano playing, a girl listening to music while playing ballet, a person in the shower changing their song, a person in school studying, listening to music, in a library, in a cafe, tapping her feet, doing some jump rope, working out, listening to music. This guy's tapping on the chair. She's singing in the car. This guy's getting ready to swim with his headphones on. Weird. Break dancer, regular dancer, little kid dancer, people dancing in the car.
Crescendo of piano music.
Craziness. These are all very young people.
Yeah.
Sun flares, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
So it's essentially, it's like Apple's photo commercial, but for music.
Yeah, yeah. Which gave me all sorts of like chills and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. When I first watched it, I was like, is that, you know, I talk about all the time that, you know, my number one thing that I do with my phone is listen to music. I listen just a ton of music, and I listen to it loud, and I listen to it, you know, and just kind of like goof off. And you like, a lot of those scenes for me are like, wow, that resonates because that's the sort of thing that I do. And, you know, and I like, you know, soft piano music that like reaches some sort of crescendo. Like, it's just like, you know, from an emotional, like,
for some piano music.
And I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where like Apple post Steve Jobs postmortem, their commercials sort of hit like a weird thing where it was like, this doesn't feel very Apple-ish to
me. Well, it was almost like whoever was in charge of the commercials had these ideas. And were like, these are brilliant ideas. I want to try them. And Steve always put the kibosh on them.
Yeah.
And then when he was done, he said, okay, I want to do these ideas because they're awesome. And they went, okay, do it. And they ran those two genius ads.
Yeah.
And they got done. I went, you're fired.
Yeah, yeah. Go away.
Yeah. Okay. Never speak again. Yeah.
This is why Steve Jobs didn't let you do that, because they're awful. And they did a couple of those ones with what's his name, the comedian, who was narrating the whole thing.
Comedian? Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, yeah. He would be so mad. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry, Jeff Daniels. You're a legitimate actor. You have done more than Dumb and Dumber.
Pleasantville.
Pleasantville, exactly.
Just to name one.
Yeah, he's a brilliant actor, and that's he has talked about the fact before that like his biggest struggle in life is that that Dumb and Dumber was just such a like a hallmark in the world.
Awesome.
Every other actor has a lot of respect for him, and yet he's still thought of as the comedian guy from Dumb and Dumber. But
it was really good.
I know, but I love that movie so much.
We're in the Alps.
Oh, that's a great movie. I want to go watch it right now. Anyways, those are good commercials, but those didn't have that sort of like, oh yeah, this is why life in the world is awesome kind of feel that Apple commercials occasionally do. Well, they were more of a return to the I'm a Mac, I'm a PC style commercials, which is good. I mean, there's definitely a reason for that, where it displays actual things that you can do with it. But I feel like
what I've always liked about Apple commercials is it shows you things you can do on them.
Exactly. But these ones are the ones that always get me like, oh man, I want to go to an Apple store and spend too much money on Apple products. Where it's like, it's like those emotional ones where it's like, the one of their greatest achievement ones I always thought was the one with the FaceTime one. Where it's like the people are like signing "I love you" to each other. Like, oh my god,
everyone's crying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's so beautiful. And this one's just like, oh man, this is like, you know, it's a bunch of people in like Seattle and San Francisco and like all your metropolitan music areas. Yeah, just like a bunch of like, you know, kids dancing and stuff. You're just like, this is why I love music. I need my iPhone so I can love music. And then it's just I realize that they're just like playing with my emotional heartstrings in order to sell me products and, you know, push materialism, but it works so well and I enjoy it so much. I don't know. It was great. And the thing that really brings me, like, I think is the startling stark contrast of the Windows 8, commercial called "Less Talking, More Doing."
Making hits. Oh, it can't do screen sharing. Ooh. And not even that well.
And then they show the price, and the iPad is $700, and the Windows tablet.
Which is kind of like, A, they show the iPad mini in the picture, and then they show the regular iPad pricing.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, guys. I mean, if you're going to insult them, I don't know. It's just
they did a number of things that if you don't have like the eye for detail and pay really close attention to what's going on, It's an effective jab. If you know anything about tech, it's just irritating. You're like, okay, number one, that was the iPad mini, and you're showing the iPad price for the 64 gigs. You're showing your price without the keyboard cover, which, let's remember, costs a lot more, adds like $100 to the package price. So all of a sudden, they're closer to being in parity. But it was one of those, like, your device doesn't have voice recognition. It has no voice recognition services. So you made a commercial that draws everybody's attention to the fact that, oh, yeah, there's features that your phone doesn't have. And the thing is like, you know, we even talk about it on the show that, like, you know, we make fun of Samsung's Galaxy stuff because they're like, you know, it's got so many different features that, like, nobody uses. Like, it's like the tap to share because I can't just text you this thing. The thing is, though, those features sell the device. People buy it so they can tap to share, even though it doesn't necessarily make sense or isn't even useful. And what the worst part about it, though, in my opinion, is that anybody who's used Siri, like, is either indifferent towards it, like, yeah, it's whatever, or they really like it. There are very few people out there that, like, it's awful. It's the worst thing you say. It's just, it gets right in the way. It's terrible. And it's like, and I, you know, I always argue that there are certain tasks that I don't do at all without Siri, like setting and managing my alarms, because Siri's just so good at it. And I sit there and I go, this is just a terrible commercial for that sort of thing. Like, and the best part about it was, and somebody else pointed this out, is not only are you drawing attention to the fact that you don't have Siri and they do, or a voice recognition thing, but you're drawing their attention to the fact that they have a piano app and you don't.
Well, and I like this middle paragraph here where it was like, you know, not only were the lines written poorly for Siri, but the abilities Microsoft chooses to highlight show exactly why it doesn't even get the tablet market. Like, people aren't looking for multitasking PowerPoint slide deck creating machines. They have computers for that.
Right. Right.
You know, it's just like, you're like, all right, well. Oh, Microsoft, it's good to be last.
Yeah, and the best part about it is, all right, I've listed like 17 best parts about it, but another, like, another wonderful angle to this commercial is it's two tablets sitting right next to each other on a white background, which is exactly how Apple does their iPad mini, iPad commercials. It's the exact same setting, and it's the Siri voice. Like, you just, like, it feels like it's an Apple commercial. Hey, guys,
it feels like it's a company that is bitter.
Yeah.
Instead of or in some ways they're going, but we're cool. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just, it's more a commercial of frustration,
right,
rather than they just need to do. If they want to copy Apple,
yeah,
they need to follow the Samsung strategy, which is put the tablet on a white background with the finger and just tell us. You could do PowerPoint. You could do multitasking. Yeah. You can do this, this, this. Pick a theme. Run with it. Create like 5 or 6 different themes. And then just run those commercials. Go, these are all the different things that you can do with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the people just assume that
forget about Microsoft the snap covers, say, all that stuff, you know, whatever.
Microsoft just assumes that, you know, it's Windows. Everybody will know what to do with Windows, which, yeah, to some degree is, but it's like the last Apple commercial that we're talking about, it is talking about the iPod functionality in the iPhone. I mean, it is like the oldest product that Apple,
right,
like,
which everybody understands and knows, and instead they're doing the emotional appeal.
But what they're celebrating music and just reminding you of the fact that, oh, by the way, the iPhone lets you listen to music. You know, and they're not showing the iPhone at all, except for the earbud or the earpod things. You know, that's like the most featured Apple piece of hardware in the entire commercial spot. But what they're doing is they're celebrating music. And they're drawing this emotional response to listening to music and dancing and, you know, classical music and just that whole life experience that they're trying to, charge people for. And, you know, like, people spend money and time and years of their life chasing different types of music and the musical experiences. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to bring all of that and tie it to a product in a really, like, you know, emotionally charged way. Whereas Microsoft is making fun of Siri, one of, you know, the better voice recognition softwares
Yeah, at least they at least need to have fun with it like Samsung does when they're making fun of Apple.
Oh, yeah, get some real good digs in there, exactly, where it's like, aren't you too old for that? You know, and that's the other thing, is like Nokia knows how to market it better than Microsoft products than Microsoft does, with that whole, you know, Apple versus versus Samsung, really, you know, wedding battle where they all duel it out, and they're just throwing digs back and forth at each other. I mean, you're just like, that's pretty fun. I'll give Nokia that one, and it helps that I really like the Nokia phone, and you know, I wish it had better music support, interestingly enough, because that to me was, you know, one of the big drawbacks of the Windows Phone platform. If you're going to go that route, like you said, you got to have fun with it. You got to be a little bit creative.
And better.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, man. It's such an interesting and terrible strategy that they've managed to forge for themselves.
Xbox, Microsoft, whatever. Yeah. Whatever your name is.
This is definitely a Microsoft episode.
Yeah, we started out pretty, you know, Google, got some Yahoo in there, took a quick stop on Amazon and guns, and...
Yeah, and then talked Microsoft.
Then went Microsoft.
And, you know, and the biggest thing, I guess, from all of this, I feel like I spent this entire episode bashing Microsoft, which is, you know, one of my...
Spar for the course.
I always say one of my hallmarks is... I was going to say, one of my favorite pastimes is complaining. criticizing, and I guess the real takeaway that I should say is I'm actually excited to see the Xbox come out and to see what they do with it, because I, like I mentioned, I think they're pushing that technology forward. I think Windows 8 on a whole is they're pushing the platform forward. They're having some stumbles and some weirdness, and I guess that's actually what irritates me so much more, is that it's like they're, like you said, they get you so close to where you want to be and just fall where you can see it and then fall short of it. Oh, come on, guys. This is just painful to watch. You're so close. You actually could have made it. You just needed to not stumble. And then they stumble, and you just kind of shrug your shoulders and shake your head and, you know, go on with life. But
speaking of going on with life, it is time for us to go camping.
Oh, baby, I'm super stoked.
And we'll unplug our technology for the time that we sleep. Yeah, because the rest of the time will be...
We're
actually going to try to watch a movie while camping. It will be funny.
We're going to do that?
That's homemade awesome. Projector. Yeah, I got...
Oh, man.
They were like, bring a couple DVDs because we forgot them. So, all right, I'm doing
That's
it.
That's great.
But anyways, that is what we're going to be doing. So we really appreciate you listening and listening. I was going to – no one really commented, so there's no participation to add to that. But we really do appreciate you listening. We're going to go off to have fun. So thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow, and my alumni graduated brother is Matthew Dean Furlow, and we will talk next time. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Quit watching a podcast, for crying out loud. Enjoy your family. Have a barbecue or something.
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.